Luke chapter 24. Those of you that came for our sunrise service, you've heard this passage, and hopefully you'll hear it again. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were there wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed with lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised.' Then they remembered his words." Lord, bless the reading of the word and the message that is to follow. And as we celebrate around the table today, the remembrance of the sacrifice you have made on our behalf, may we come together as one around the cross and its emptiness, around the tomb and the fact that it is empty, and around the burial cloths that are no longer holding the body of our Savior, but has released him as redemption for the world. In Christ's name, amen. Now, if you are a reader of Dear Abby, you might remember this story. A man promised his son, "Upon your graduation, you can have the automobile of your choice." And so they went shopping for the automobile, and then on the evening of the young man's graduation, they went into their living room, and his father presented him with the box. And in that box was a copy of the Holy Bible. In frustration, the young man threw the Bible down and left. He said, "All you have given to me are empty promises, and I'm tired of it, and I'm leaving this place." Years later, after the father had passed into glory, the young man, now a middle-aged man, and his sister were going through all the belongings of the father. They found that box. They opened it and they found that Bible. And when this man, once young in rebellion, ran away from his father, opened up the front cover, inside of it was a certified check for the exact amount of the car the young man had picked out. I want to talk to you today about three empty promises. And I want to preach on each one of these quickly and see what kind of message is there. Another way that you could describe, or a subtitle for this message, would be "Promises of Empty Things." And I'm going to speak to you this morning about the empty cross and the promise that our Savior made of that event. I want to speak to you this morning of the empty tomb and the promises that were made that after 3 days the Savior would be resurrected. And I want to speak to you this morning about the empty burial cloths that surrounded and engulfed the body of our Savior only for him to be resurrected again. Let's consider, first of all, the empty cross. We all know that because of the empty cross, we have the promise of forgiveness. We have heard that message in our church life all of our lives that we've been coming to our local church. Forgiveness. What is it? It is the partition for that which we've done that was an error. Sometimes sin, as we describe it, comes from omission or commission. Omission because we simply commit a sin out of ignorance. Commission because we commit a sin and with intent we do it. But all that takes place at Calvary when Christ died there. But not only did he die there, but we know that it was a horrible kind of experience. Scholars and theologians across the ages have tried to describe the event of the crucifixion of our Savior. And trust me, any research you do, whether you Google it or whether you read it in a commentary, the description is not one that is very pretty. It's a horrible death. But one thing that is involved in the empty cross is a reminder that it is stained with a whole lot of blood. And that cross, stained with the blood of our Savior, comes from the body of one who was both earthly and heavenly. He loved like we love, and he got angry like we get angry. During the Passion Week, one account of the gospel says that he went into the temple and he saw what the activity of the temple was there, and he decided that in his anger, a righteous indignation, he would overturn the money tables of those who were bartering in the Lord's house. But also, that blood that runs down the cross also reminds us that that blood stain upon Calvary's cross is transferred to the very soul of humankind. All of us that are saved here this morning have the blood stains of Christ upon our hearts. Back in the old days at the church I grew up in, when something happened amiss to a family, maybe it was a disease or some other tragedy, I can often remember the WMU sisters when they got together, and my mother would drag me along to their meetings. And I remember those ladies praying in the WMU meeting. And they would have the prayer request. And they would tell the experience of somebody, as bad as it was. And then one of the little ladies who prayed like no one else could pray in that group, she'd say, "I tell you what we're going to do, ladies. We're going to call down the blood of Jesus on that situation so that there will be healing." So the cross is empty. But it's not empty of the blood stain, nor is it empty of the blood stain placed upon your heart. And it is because of that blood stain of our Savior, forgiveness is a possibility that we all can know about. I think sometimes Christians find it very hard to accept the fact that we have been forgiven. I think it's because we continually rehash either the sin of our own lives or the sin of somebody else, instead of just letting it go. Because when Christ hung on the cross, as the children said, his last words, "It is finished," reminds us that that empty cross tells, as far as our penalty for our sin is concerned, it's finished. It's done with. He has paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. Can you say amen to that? But I want you to also notice that there's something else that is an empty promise, and that is the empty tomb. A lot of people will be going to the cemeteries today. We've never made that a practice. It's not that we're objectionable to it or anything like that, but Pat's folks are buried in Dublin. Excuse me, my folks are buried in Christiansburg. And they both have beautiful grave sites. But a lot of people will go to the cemetery today. And they will take Easter flowers, Easter lilies, and place them on the grave site of their loved ones. But you're here as a Christian person, and you know this. They're not there. The only thing that is there is the remnant of a life that was once lived. And the scripture said, and probably was quoted when you stood by that gravesite, "Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust." It is a reminder that out of the dust of the ground, the Lord God Almighty shaped the human life and breathed into the nostrils, and they became a living soul. And one day, these physical bodies of ours must be put to rest. And back to the dust they will go. But isn't it wonderful to know that because of the empty tomb, there is no ending of the Christian life. We simply pass from this life into the eternal presence of our Savior. Isn't that good news? Now that's possible because of the empty tomb. We visit our cemeteries out of respect and to honor those that we loved, but they're not there. For the saved, forgiven person, we see the cemetery not as a place of death, but the reality of something else very important, the reality of victory. I'd remind you today, as a child of God, that you are a victorious person. I said Sunday before last, we're winners. We don't have to fight the battle of life anymore. Now, some of them are pretty severe, and we wish we didn't have to go there. But we're already winners. As far as our spiritual existence is concerned, we're winners. That has nothing to do with how perfect we are, because none of us are. Has nothing to do with how well behaved we are, because most of us have a long shot at being perfect. It has everything, however, to do with the perfection of the one who came out of the tomb and made it empty. And see, there's a story told, it's the cutest thing. And so the Sunday school teacher said to her sixth grade class, "Now, I'm giving you all an Easter egg. Open it up." And the Easter eggs were empty. And she said, "Now, I want you to go out onto the lawn of our church, and I want you to find something that reminds you of Easter and put it in your egg, close it back up, and bring it inside." And so they did this little activity at the instruction of their sixth grade teacher, and when they all came back in, she said, "All right, now, boys and girls, come on up here and open up your eggs and tell us what you found." And one of them was a dandelion, beautiful as it could be, a little yellow dandelion. One of them was a simple leaf, a clover, but the little boy said, "Teacher, it's not a four-leaf clover, but it's a clover, and it's pretty." And the teacher said, "Yes, it is." One had a little bug in it. It was a ladybug. And there was various little objects and creative things in the eggs until finally she came to Joey and he opened his Easter egg and again it was empty. And she said, "But Joey, you found nothing to put in your egg." He said, "My empty egg reminds me of the empty tomb." And that's what Easter is all about. But then there's a third empty promise. John, in the Gospel of John, it tells about that. And you don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read it for you here in just a minute. And that's the empty burial cloth. You remember in John chapter 11, the women came to Jesus and said, "Your friend, our brother Lazarus, is dead. Will you please come?" And he delayed his arrival. And finally, when he arrived, they said to him, "If you had been here, your friend, our brother, would not have died." And Jesus said, "Don't you know? I am the resurrection and the life." And so when he got to the grave, he went to the graveside of Lazarus, and again, he charged them to roll the stone away. And they said, "But Master, he's been in the grave a long time, and already the stench will fill the air." And Jesus dismissed them. And he called Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of that tomb. And you know the next thing Jesus said to them? Take off those grave clothes. Oh, amen. Take off those grave clothes. We was talking about that in a joking sort of way, but you know, we all kind of talk about it from time to time, and we don't really want to face the reality of it, but I was telling the guys back there that I've got this suit that I've already got picked out I want to be buried in. Don't you laugh. You probably have done the same thing. But you know, they're just grave clothes. They're just clothes that's going to be put on a body so that people can come by as spectators and look on me. And that's what I want them to do. All those people that were disgusted at my ministry and all those people that loved my ministry can come by and gawk at me and see my grave clothes. But they don't make any difference. Don't make any difference. Because I'm not there. I'm in the presence of Jesus. And the kind of clothes that I wear here on earth are purely adapted for this earth, but they'll have no dress. They'll look completely different. They will not be important because I'll be putting on a glorified body, and so will you. And in John chapter 11, when he finally arrives, he says, take off those graves. You know what they did? They would actually wrap the body again and again and again and again. Now, before they started the wrapping process, they put a mixture of all kinds of spices on the dead remains. And then they wrapped it again. And then after some time, just like we go to the cemetery and put flowers on the graves of our loved ones, they would come back and they would anoint the body again with spices as respect and reverence to the one that had passed. And it says in John chapter 11... that when they arrived at the tomb, or actually in John chapter 20, when they arrived at the tomb, they found that the grave clothes were still there. They had been moved. They hadn't even been disturbed. And so, I don't know whether you watched any of the History Channel yesterday or not, but they had a 2-hour special on about the shawl or shroud of Turin. And never quite proven 100%, but speculation is that this was the wrapping upon our Savior. But I would remind you of what the women discovered. He's not there. Those burial cloths are empty. And so the one that we worship today is the one that has come out of the grave, and anything related to death is left behind. Now, sometime in your life, I don't know when it was, you each could stand and give a personal testimony, and that's something you really need to learn to do. But your testimony is about one that left the grave, came out of it. And our testimony is about our lives that have been dead in Christ since our salvation and resurrected into a new life. You see, we are resurrected people. That's who we are. Now, one day we're going to be in heaven with Him, but as Christians now, saved by His grace, we are resurrected people. When you came up out of that baptismal pool, It symbolized the resurrection of your life into new life in Christ. There are a lot of empty promises in life. In conclusion, we hear them every day. I don't know, am I on one in the crowd this morning that just is repulsed by commercial after commercial? I mean, you're completely wrapped up in a good program on television. Maybe it's an episode of Andy Griffith, but oh, they got to interrupt it with a commercial. And you get so sick and tired of commercials. And watch, and every one of them are making to you an empty promise. And sometimes we buy into those promises and go buy those products. Or else why would they keep on advertising them? That's all right. The world is full of empty promises. But I've talked to you this morning about three empty promises. The cross that's empty, stained with blood, transferred to your heart and mind. An empty tomb, where Jesus is no longer there, but He is risen indeed. And the empty burial clothes. Take off those clothes, He said to the women around Lazarus' tomb. And so it is. We are resurrected beings in Christ. I hope you see these things as I have seen them. I hope today you can claim the promises of all three of them in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the promises you made and have kept. And we're reminded, Lord, that all the promises you keep in your Son, you have full intent of keeping them. And we have the promise that one day these old bodies of ours will experience the true resurrection when we receive our new glorified body and step out of these clothes into something new. Oh Lord, thank you for that. Just a minute, we're going to ask you to make your Easter commitment. We'll sing invitation as we always do. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Lord Jesus, I come to you. And if for whatever reason on this Easter Sunday you need to come, I'm going to ask that you do that as we sing. Thank you, Father God. You've been sweet to us on this Easter day. From the very beginning this morning with our breakfast and our sunrise service, and now worshiping together in Christ. But help us not to leave here if there's a commitment we need to make to you. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.